In the words of the legendary Lou Gellerman, hello, dog fans, and welcome to the Sound the Siren podcast, because everything matters, including, in case you missed it, we're a proud inaugural member of the College Huddle. Please check out at College Huddle on Twitter, thecollegehuddle.com, and other podcasts in the College Huddle network. I'd also like to say a big thank you to Daniel from the Gator Truth podcast for having me as the inaugural guest on the Why We Huddle series. I am, as usual, your host, Hooligan7. I'm joined tonight by Big Hood and DJ. Gentlemen, how are you doing this evening?
Good, man. Can't complain. Enjoying this Husky spring so far.
Yes. With one exception, and we'll certainly talk about that. Without further ado, beverages is, of course, how we start off every show. I'll go ahead and I will turn over a new leaf and I'll go first. I am on team Bubbly H2O tonight. I have a Nixie strawberry hibiscus sparkling water, and it's tasty.
Hey, put a little alcohol on that. You got a White Claw.
Hey, come on. Exactly.
Nah, I'm taking it easy. DJ, how about you? What do you got tonight, bud?
I got some water down here by my feet a little bit, but dang, if I remember it as the inaugural episode, I should have got some claws out, but next time.
Yeah. Inaugural episode as a member of the College Huddle Network.
Yes, that's what I mean, yes.
Yep.
How does this even happen? So I have my whole water filter over here, first of all, so I always got the water, but I have a space nest.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Nice.
I got you two drinking H2O and then carbonated H2O with flavoring. And I'm over here cheersing, you know?
All right. Well, sorry. I've got one left in the fridge out there that I'm saving. By the way, if you get a chance to, I believe the brewery is called Holy Mountain. They've got one called The Mariner. That's a Kolsch style. It's quite tasty. I just chose not to partake in it. This evening. Without further ado, I think we can move right along into stupid tweets. And I'll go here again. I will go first. And my stupid tweet is at FFBuckCLE screenshotting that an overall score on 247. This is outdated now because there's more commits than this now, I believe, but that Michigan and Washington were basically last in the Big Ten in recruiting. Again, not looking at the average recruiting ranking and just looking at however they put that total score together. Long and short of it is, unless you're looking at the averages, you could have a huge class of 30 with a bunch of 85s that's going to outscore a class of 1890s. I think we all know who's going to end up better on the football field, and that also doesn't take into account development coaching, which can put like a 0.8 push a 0.8 composite player past a 0.93 composite player. And if you don't believe me, just look at the two teams that participated in the national championship game.
Exactly. My stupid tweet is from Chase Goodbread. Well, that bread's molded over there. But it's Kalen DeBoer's. It's two pictures of the spring game of UW last year and their spring and Alabama spring game this year. And it's Kalen DeBoer's spring game crowd last year versus this year. And he's just trying to highlight the hype centered around the program. And I commented, like, obviously there's stuff to do in Seattle. What is there to do in Tuscaloosa? You know what I mean? So it's just super funny how, you know, obviously we would love to, you know, fundraise. We would love to have the it be a lit atmosphere. We enjoy the fact that our athletic department and our media team are trying to get more people in the stands to support the kids. We definitely respect that. But let's not act like, you know, the casual person is going to pull up to, you know, Husky Stadium when there's a bunch of things going on in the city. So,
well, I believe, and I think somebody pointed it out. The day of our spring game last year, there was, in Seattle, a Mariner game. Both the Rain and Sounders played a home match. The Kraken, I don't think we're quite in the playoffs yet, but we're on the verge of making their first playoff appearance in history and had a home game at Climate Pledge Arena. That's just the sporting landscape in and the Husky spring game. That's just the sporting landscape in Seattle, let alone things to do like hiking, the Seattle Art Museum, something at Benaroya Hall, going out on the water. I don't think we had it on May the 1st on the opening day of voting season or for the Wintermere Cup like we've lined it up in past years. But yes, there's significantly more to do in the city of Seattle than there is in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
That same day, so the day before Justin Timberlake's in town, I do think that same day is Justin Timberlake, 21 Savage, and then EDM DJ IOS XO. So there's also other things that are going on during the night. Yeah.
What do you mean that they have all those things all the time in Eugene every weekend? I think some
Eugene
somebody pointed out all those times there are different times in the spring game. I mean, it doesn't matter a whole lot. Most people aren't going to be I'm going to go to 2-3 events on one day. I'm going to spend all my day doing that. Most people don't do that. Yeah. With Seattle traffic, you're gone for 12 straight hours.
You pick an event. Pick one event and then.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm sure there's some people that might do both, but majority of people are not.
I'm doing two events that night. I'm doing two events.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. How about you, DJ? Any stupid tweets other than just at Duck Twitter?
No, there was this one account. I was searching my phone since we started talking about stupid tweets. I can't find it. I should have had it ready. But there's this Arizona fan who's just still so I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm still mad at Kalen DeBoer. But this guy is obsessed over Jed Fish leaving Arizona and tweets nonstop all day, every day. And saying some really hateful stuff, but I can't find it. But he just embarrassed himself on the timeline. Some Arizona fans, some other Husky fans, been calling him out, but I can't find an account. So those
dudes are hurt over there, bro.
Yeah,
they're not about to steal players from other teams. What?
Yeah, and
what?
Yeah, I mean, going back to saying about DeBoer, I'm not. He's gonna try to get players from our team. I wasn't mad about. The players that went over there, we got a couple not even starters from Arizona, and they getting so mad, and yeah, it's just at a different level with these Arizona fans.
Well, it's what happens when you have a coach that leads them to their third ever 10-win season. They're not used to playing the game with the big boys, and this is what happens.
That's a great point.
And all their players are leaving their basketball team.
Yeah, I mean,
this is their pride and joy.
I pointed
you take
it out.
Take a shot from all sides.
Jed led them to their third ever 10-win season. We have five of those in the last decade.
There's levels to this, and you're going to certainly find out who the haves and the have-nots are. I'll tell you that
exactly. Yeah. I think there's a segue to be found in terms of speaking about anger at our former head coach, and it largely for me is less about leaving and the manner in which he left, more of my anger at this stage, and it's not just reserved for Coach DeBoer, it's also for Coach Grubb, for Coach Marks, and honestly, I have frustration with the university at large and the athletic department for how they handled the situation regarding a running back who will not be named on this episode. Before I say anything else, I certainly want to say that our hearts and our prayers and deepest best wishes and sympathies are with the women impacted in this instance. The long and short of it is from my take on the situation is that in light of the incident that he was involved in along with Diesel Gordon, with the cyclist prior to the season that caused him to miss some of training camp. Even though that there was the first woman impacted that was assaulted temporarily or for a time recanted her story. She made a report to the Title IX office at the university, so clearly something happened. He had no business being back on this football team after the, you know, after that came to any sort of light. Due process in a court of law is one thing, and then certainly in that context, you're innocent until proven guilty. But playing football is a privilege, not a right. He had no place on this team, and it to me, in terms of my anger with our former coaching staff, it's a clear indication that they prioritized winning over making the right decision as a human being. He had no business on this team.
Who's more at fault from the things that we know? Is it the coaching staff or is it the athletic department and administration?
I think there's culpability to go around in terms of, at a certain point, yes, the definition or like the clear delineation of this player is officially suspended. It sits above the coaching staff's head at that point in time. But you also don't have to, like, that's all well and good. But you also don't have to put him out in the field. He can travel with you. He can be a part of the team. But you don't have to put him on the field. He doesn't get to, particularly with guys like Sam Adams, Danielle Nata, Will Nixon, who kept their noses clean all year, who you could have played in that situation, and that decision is absolutely theirs to put him on the field. That's the coaching staff.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. There's nothing additional that I have to add in regards to that. I think you nailed everything. I think disappointment, you know what I'm saying, for, you know, not only a football team that I enjoy rooting for, but an institution that, you know, I stick with and take a lot of pride in. With a lot of the academic integrity, a lot of the, you know, overall integrity of the university, the prestige of the university, the academic side of things too. And this is just a, you know, an unfortunate stain. But, you know, to the people you were talking about holding accountable, I think, you know, that's top down. I think everybody had a role to play in him touching the field again for us. So, I just want to give an overall shout out to the young ladies who, you know, banded together and had the courage to be able to step forward, setting the tone for, you know, other young ladies or young men who are put in a similar situation. So,
it takes an immense amount of courage, and that's absolutely to be commended and respected.
Yep. I don't have anything more to add. I just want to say I agree with everything you both said, 100%. And you said it well,
so. I mean, and for that matter, I would also say, like, it bears, you know, and I don't know what information will ever be publicly available, because it sounds like a lot of the one thing and the one area that tickles some things in my brain in terms of how the previous staff handled it was that there were, I think, messages, whether it was texts or emails sent to, I believe, the staff in regards to the situation. And in every instance, or from what the reports, I think Christian Cable's article made mention of, it was that in each case, the conversations or the follow-ups were all done by phone, where it's, you don't have the transcript of that, of what was said, who said what, to be able, that smells a tremendous amount of CYA, and that style of CYA stinks to high heaven. But I will also say, in regards to, I have questions, and I will, you know, continue to have questions of how, when he did enter the portal in January, how was either, you know, if you take what Fish has said at face value, that he wasn't aware of the criminal allegations being faced by the player. I want to know whether that's true or whether Fish is covering his own ass, in which case I'm not happy about that either.
Yeah, I think the positive portion of all this is, you know, nobody responsible is still with the program. You know, we don't have to fake root for anybody, show fake support for anybody. The AD's gone, the coach is gone, as well as the player. So I think that's the, you know, the biggest bullet dodged in all of this. And we don't have to fake root for these people anymore. So.
Yep. Yep. Well, I think that sums up our thoughts on this particular topic, and we'll move into certainly something that's, and this is not to minimize the situation whatsoever. It's, but that there are other things as regards Husky athletics and Husky football to talk about. And we can, I think let's start with talking about what we've heard from practice. You know, there's certainly, any number of folks, but, you know, big shouts to Roman Tomashov and Lars Hansen and Christian Capel for all of the reports that we're getting from practice. From what you guys have heard thus far, what are you most encouraged by about what you're hearing from the team and with the transition into the new staff or kind of highlights of the spring and certainly with some rather famous faces that have been around the program lately?
Denzel Boston is that dude. Everyone's saying and the videos I've seen, man, like the hype is real with him. I know there was hype last year, but it's tough when you got three NFL dudes right in front of you. Four, yeah. But yeah, I'm excited to see him out there. And anyone's paying attention has seen the reports, and that he just it seems like he's like how Rome was in practice two years ago. Just taking over.
Yep. I mean, and he's not mossing walk-ons. He's mossing highly, like, the guy who we are all very, very happy is now a part of our program that had been at Arizona, a 6'4 corner named Ephesians Prysock, like, mossing him. Obviously, we saw the development and that, you know, Elijah Jackson is not a small corner, and obviously he has, he made a play in the second to last game of last season that will go down as one of the biggest plays in Husky football history. Obviously you've seen what we know what Devon Banks can do when he was healthy at the beginning of last season. Yeah.
Oh, I want to give one more shout out to your name and some people covering it. I haven't heard of this guy until spring ball, Nick Lemku. I can't pronounce his last name, but yeah, he's dialed in, and is that all the practices? Posting good updates, so give him a follow.
Yeah, I was going to shout him out as well as Evan Feather as well.
Oh yeah, of course. Evan. Yeah,
Evan, my bad. I'm sorry,
but that's why he got all three of us here. You know, we picked the three for the, you know. Yeah, my overall kind of takeaways is just really kind of cool. Just seeing, like, you know, the team speed increase. You know what I'm saying? It feels like we're super fast. Everything we're hearing is obviously from the skill players, skill positions. I know what type of dog, you know, guys like Zach Henning are, but I wouldn't say I've heard any, like, crazy ravens about the offensive line. So that's kind of what I've been kind of looking for things. So like I said, skill positions, we've been hearing a lot about the wide receivers. We've been hearing a lot about the DBs, you know, the corners making a ton of plays on the ball. A little bit about the running backs, and then obviously, you know, where there's smoke, there's a little bit of fire, just some, you know, quarterback excitement, I'll say. Yeah, I've been talking about a lot of skill positions.
One non-skill position player that we were hearing a lot about before he might have got hurt. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but Durfee, he was a beast from what I heard, and I don't know if it's injuries or serious or not, but I heard he missed a practice or two. But, yeah, I heard he was out there killing, and so it's good because, yeah, you're right. We've mostly been hearing about skill position guys. I mean, I don't know if we have enough guys even for an offensive line right now at the moment. But so it sounds about right with skill position.
We'll talk a little bit more about that particular position group when we start to talk about recruiting and what we're hearing there.
Which position group? Sorry.
Oh, we're talking about O-line and what we expect kind of over the course of particularly with the portal is open.
Uh-huh. Well, that freshman, Michael Watkins or something, he's looking like, you know, if you know, push comes to shove, he can step in there just from a physicality standpoint. Was hearing that hitting was having some struggle with the snaps. You know, still about, you know, Elisha Jackett's physique still. Fa'asolo looks like he's kind of built the right way. Tafai is built already to kind of play, you know, obviously as a party. But some other guys on the other side of the ball, I haven't really heard too much about, but the fact that Maurice Himes is running with the ones was real impressive. And obviously Holzclaw. But somebody that the people who have the athletes we've spoken to on the pod, Sebastian Valdez. I've actually heard a little bit about him as well.
That's true. Yeah.
Players, but from kind of some of the writers and some of the fans that have shown up. So the muscle, apparently, the big muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who's which one of the guys that we had on the pod was really hyping him up? Was that Dursey?
It was all three, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
They complimented his physique and like his work ethic. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm hmm. Yeah, it's awesome.
And,
yeah.
And I will say, it did come out today that speaking of guys that we had on the pod, that Anthony James has entered the portal. I didn't get a chance to take part in that conversation, but certainly wish Anthony nothing but the best. And
agreed.
I think we will all be huge fans and cheering for him wherever he goes, unless it's one place. And I don't think that's the place that he's headed. So,
I don't always root for guys that, not saying I root against them, but root for guys that leave the program. But him and Vince Holmes are two guys I'm going to be pulling for sure wherever they go, as long as it's not.
You see, one Vince place. Was born, bro. Vince was like, dang, this is where I wanted
to
stay. This is where I wanted to go to school. Like, I love the city. You can just see it in Vince's just whole leading up to it, man. That's when you marry the school and then you have to make a business decision. Like, that's the unfortunate part of everything that's happening right now is if it was still kind of this natural developmental process, Vince will be prioritized right now. And so, you know, it's kind of unfortunate. Those kind of like loyal dudes to programs that last 2-3 years and they become a fan favorite, those guys don't have the same form of value anymore. So that's RIP to the pageantry of this game we fell in love with a little bit.
Right. Well, and I mean, it is, and it's part and parcel of what, you know, it was in the hype video about that came out on social media this week about, you know, and like the whole thing about the 33rd NFL team, like Fish said it in one of the comments that's in that video. It was like, you have to fight for your spot. And basically my staff wouldn't be doing our job if we weren't out every day looking to put the best potential team on the field in any way we can. And I don't care if, you know, it's very much a professional football mentality. Like that, their job is to win games. And speaking, it's not a stupid tweet, but it's a stupid comment, you know, from Hack Wilner about like, oh, well, you know, if we win 8 or 9, if, you know, the Huskies win 8 or 9 games, Jed could take the Florida job. And I'm like, again, and I tweeted this, but it's like, you're missing the key variable. In order for him to do that, the Huskies have to win 8 or 9 or 10 games. And if he does that, and if we recruit, like, yes, the transfer portal is a thing, but you're not going to lose your entire team to the transfer portal because we lost a small portion of our team from last year to the transfer portal. We lost a bigger percentage of our team to the NFL draft and to graduation. If Jed leaves, whether it's next year, it's the year after, or the year after that, there will be buyout money. He will have won games and recruited will be just fine. And that money will go to pay, you know, and keep this momentum rolling down the line. Like,
and I mean, this to kind of a little bit of piggyback is, you know, the bags that we initially, you know, when this NIL thing came out there, you know, we had this understanding that Washington was going to slow play the paying for the high schoolers. We had a general understanding as a fan base that, and we respected the approach that we were going to pay for proven commodities. And now is the first off season where we get the opportunity to show that, hey, we can fundraise and we can actually, you know, snag some of these big fish. And I'm sorry, no pun intended. We can snag some of these big fish and with you know, oftentimes we saw us make a top six and we knew that we weren't going to get that player. You know, when's the last time you've seen our logo next to Georgia or next to Alabama and winning those? You know what I'm saying? So
the Chris Peterson era.
You know what I mean? And, you know, maybe a segue, but in speaking to like the people who were, you know, in Raiden's, you know, Final Four, you know, great win, great recruiting win. Something the last two staffs really haven't been able to do.
Mm-hmm. Did it in places, but it was not a, there was not a clear desire across the board to go out and just get dudes at every spot. We were doing it to some extent. We were getting our, like, we were sticking our nose in there on quarterbacks.
Yeah, receivers.
We lost a commitment to, and receivers. I mean, even, I really liked the receivers that the last class or the last staff brought in, but even then it was kind of the, they weren't super active or super involved at like the very, very top of the board.
You talk about Chris Peterson when that was the last time we had some of those battles, but even then Peterson would like pick his battles like, oh yeah, I'll go against Notre Dame, or but he's not going to go. We're not going to go against Ohio State
exactly,
or Alabama or Georgia. And
we did against Bama a little bit, but we didn't go out of with the times that we did that.
Utah, Hawaii.
Exactly. Where they were in region kids that were drawing interest from those programs back east. This staff's like, we're going to go anywhere and everywhere.
We don't care.
The NFL, you know, the NFL-ication of our program. I mean, that's case in point of like. Do you think Steve Belichick is going to be like, oh, that kid's here and not there? I know.
People want to talk about, I told Hooligan DJ pre-show, people want to talk about recruiting rankings. You know, Washington has a commitment from the starting quarterback from Modern Day and a starting wide receiver from IMG Academy. You know what I mean? Like, so just thinking of it, like, people are so concerned about, you know, what some other person's evaluation is. And it's like, well, you got two people that are at schools with winning pedigrees. They're learning winning culture. They're learning how to be football players, learning how to be professionals. That's what made somebody like Jalen Polk and Rome so good, is that they're professionals. You know, you can't quantify that element of, you know, a recruit without obviously beating them and stuff like that. So,
yeah. And I mean, we're probably going too much in depth here, but people always talk about recruiting rankings, and that's a little bit of a factor, but it's obviously overblown. But it's more about like, okay, who are you beating in these recruiting battles for these kids, and like, how high on the board are these guys that you're getting? Like, are you getting your first or second guy? Is like not 10 down, but he's rated a 4-star, so it's a huge get. Yep. But like, you whiffed on your first 8-9 guys. So that's what's most important.
The last two staffs have kind of tail tucked, and they've sacrificed their top three people on their boards just so they didn't have to compete with those. Oh, we're not going to get. They just got offered by Ohio State. Okay, let's move on to number four. Like, it's like that versus like, oh, okay, they offered him. I'm calling him up. Yeah, hey man, hey, I see you offered. Oh yeah, you know we coming for that. You know, there wasn't that, and it seems like that's what we have now. You know what I mean? Just. Oh, you got offered by Florida. That's cool. Go ahead and visit all that and see how trash that is. We got that.
What we have on the staff now, you'll forgive the pun, but we have dogs.
Come on. We got fishermen.
Coaching and dogs on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
We had some dogs. Those guys, regardless of the conversation, those guys can coach.
Mm-hmm.
Flat out, like, those guys can coach. They didn't get after it on the trail like this staff does. Like, again, I will repeat what I've said constantly. This staff and this head coach flipped a 5-star wide receiver from the University of Oregon and Phil Knight's money to off of a 1-win season at the University of Arizona.
Yep.
If you don't think these guys can recruit, you're not paying attention. And if you don't think that Washington is going to be competitive going forward in this landscape with this staff or with the next staff,
you're tripping.
You haven't been paying attention to what Washington can be when we pay players.
they had a 5-star
line.
They had a 5-star D lineman commit to the school for a while until Oregon dropped like the fattest of all bags that no one can compete with. But yeah, they know what they're doing. They can recruit.
We're not going to win every recruiting battle.
No, no.
But we're getting it. But the previous staff wasn't getting in them.
This is a completely side topic. Oh, sorry. I just say one thing. That, again, is kind of off topic, but it's about Oregon when they're recruiting. Like, some of these recruits that they get, like, Tosh FaceTimes me every day and calls me every day. I'm like, man, if that was me, I don't care if I'm 16, that would be annoying as hell. Like, I would not want to talk to anyone.
Especially Tosh.
Yeah, that's not like my mom or something every day. Like, I don't know how that works with some of these kids. Again, totally off topic, but I just thought about that.
That kid, safety, oh, Lord have mercy. I do not remember his name, but he's out of Florida as well. That just was communicating about some of the people who he has interest in and how UW just offered him. He was saying how UW FaceTimes him like every other day. And in my head, I was like, "Oh, thank God." I was like, thank God it's not every day. It's so funny you said that because
it sounds desperate.
Verbatim.
Let's not have to start getting down on one knee to a recruit.
You know, I love you, right? Love you. As a young man, I just love your spirit.
Well, and the other thing, and DJ, I think you made a point about this in one of the group chats. Look at what Oregon is trying to do in the transfer portal. All of these highly regarded, and I keep saying it every time the Ducks start crowing about their recruiting ranks, and like how many of them are actually going to see the field for your football team?
Year over year, you never know what your roster is going to look like, so you can flex all that's happening 2 years before players touch the field all you want. But we don't even know what's happening next week. So,
let's also predict some shit. Yeah. Going back to FF Buck Klee's tweet, they're also trying to reflect recruiting rankings 8 months before the first signing day.
Yeah. Ducks have guys like Jillo Florence who are solid players that started for them. Like, he ain't going to start next year because they're just bringing in guys. Like, how does he feel? And, like, those other players on their team that establish a roster spot, like a starting spot, and was solid, not like saying they're like all American, but they're just kicking them off the curb. Like, dude, how do people not see this? I mean, these kids, it makes no sense.
Development has taken a back seat. Like, Jahlil Florence is not valuable anymore. Like,
yeah,
you get
fucked. By the same token, we're also doing some of the same thing. It's agreed. Like, we're going to coach up the guys that are in our room, but if somebody that's proven to be better wants to come here, door's open.
One thing I will tell you is that the campus heroes and the campus legends are going to stand out a lot more now. You know, the guys that end up staying 2, 3, 4, 5 years and riding through stuff like the Carson Bruners. Now, obviously, he doesn't have as much opportunity as a lot of these like 5-star kids and 4-star kids, but kids that go in there and battle through adversity and those types of things, like those guys are going to be, you know, have a different, you know, leg up. You know,
Did you say Carson Bruner? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He was just like, I never considered going anywhere, you know? So it's like, okay. Also,
I heard DeBoer try to get him over there.
Who?
I heard DeBoer try to get him to Bama.
Get a lot of them over there, yeah. Man. He tried to get a lot of them over there. But that was a tight-knit squad. I saw something that said, obviously, you know, going into the CFP, they said we had 9 6-year players, and that was more than everybody else combined. This year, we're going in with 5. So, and I think that's still the highest in the country. So it's like we still have the experience to be able to teach all of the young talent, like, hey, this is what a championship team does. This is how a championship team practices. And you see Fish talking about that too a lot in a lot of these little clips we're seeing. I love the energy you guys had. And some of the visitors, man, the energy you guys had in practice today, man, it's really. So you can see that leadership still kind of trickling in the Ephesian Price Sox, who has a ton of talent and experience, but hasn't taken that super leap. So you can see, you know, these older guys are holding accountable, you know, for that next level of development for some of these.
Who are those 5? We've got Bruner, probably, I'm guessing. Yeah,
Bruner, Fowler, I think, Zotup, and Cam Fab.
Fab. No, I don't think Fowler is he?
And Bandis.
Okay.
Fowler is. Yeah, he is.
Dang, they waited till 6 years to give him a scholarship.
That's crazy work. Fifth year, yeah, sixth year. That's crazy work.
Well, and speaking of which, and like even more than the previous guys, like although it's about the same, like because some of the previous guys I think played for people. Like I think these guys, this is you know their fourth coach in their 6 years or whatever it is. It's the Pete.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like,
crazy to, bro.
to fish like, but
yeah.
But like, point to me another program in the country that's within the space of a week had Bill Belichick walking around for almost a solid week.
Yeah,
and Pete Carroll and John Schneider was at practice and at the
coaching Del Rio.
Can you imagine how many like elite defensive coordinators and offensive coordinators are going to come from these teams? Like, they've seen so many different versions of scheme and different presentations of it. Like, you know, I stayed here for four or five, six years. Like, we're gonna breed so many coaches. Like, it's gonna be wild.
You know who's gonna be a damn good coach?
Dylan Morris.
Yeah, Dylan Morris. Crossover. Yes, Dylan Morris. Sorry,
Mug.
Yeah,
like, he's guys like be a Zolta. Damn good offense. Yeah,
guys like Zolta.
Carson.
Carson.
I think Carson's gonna have a little bit of a league career. A little bit, maybe like I mean, special teams, you can run. I mean, I guess they're getting rid of special teams a little bit, kind of. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
The NFL kickoff, the XFL kickoff. Mm-hmm. But it's actually like to allow a little less.
I don't hate that. Some people hate it. Yeah.
I think it's great.
I hate the tackling thing that they're banning. That's
the hip so drop.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, bro. I'm a kind of that's bad tackling technique, bro. Like you're supposed to run through somebody, not like, oh, I can't, I don't hit the weights, so I'm just gonna fall back. Like run through somebody, and you don't have to worry about falling backwards or gator roll them, and you don't have to worry about holding somebody and then getting carried and trying to fall back. Run through them. Like people grab up and they stop, and they're like, I'm getting drugs. Let me die. Like, no, run through somebody. I mean, play physical.
Good luck trying to do that to Jonah Coleman, but
oh my god, it's a blast.
Jesus.
How can he move the way he does, man? That's bro, crazy.
I went back and watched Arizona's games and I was like, what is going on? He's like running. Bro, I'm like, what is happening?
He's fat. Like you think he's just gonna be like basically a fullback. He's fast.
And he's out there in spring practice with the grill on. I seen it in the picture. I love it.
He got the whip. He got the
yeah.
Chain, bro. He was,
always has a chain.
Clunkety clunk.
Yeah.
That man's tripping.
I didn't see it. I guess he was on IG Live and I was saying some things he was saying, like, oh man, he sounds like a funny dude too. He was like clowning on a bunch of people, but yeah,
he's funny, man. That's why he racked in, bro. He got the little thing. I ain't gonna pocket watching. I'm gonna be quiet. I ain't pocket watching, man. you do your thing, big dog. You do your thing.
Enjoy it.
I'm glad to see it on my leg, man. We ain't seen nobody fresh and dripped out, dripped in butter for a long time, man.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, yeah.
it's in so many ways it's a different era and it's such a breath of fresh air to just be like, you know, we're not gonna worry about a certain person at like I think both staffs. You know, that have been successful here at Washington had a very clear focus on a certain personality type.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the staff, I think, is just more about like, can they play football? Yes, no. Yes, they're going to pay some attention to can they fulfill some of the academic requirements in the university, which is still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
As much of an adjustment as that is for our new defensive coordinator to ask about grades. It's still going to matter at the University of Washington, particularly for any players that are going to be here longer than one season. But the
The one and done's, they don't care as much probably. oh, Hood, we're talking about Jonah. You're not in that one group chat, and somebody posted a picture of Jonah, probably from his IG, like on with his fit at a gas station.
Yeah,
and some of the white guys were, like, making fun of him, but then like G and like X and Purple King are all like, nah, man, he's fit out there. Like, that's how they take pictures too, like out of the gas stations. Those are the best pictures.
Yeah, he was dumb dripped out, bro. That blue little shirt, I almost googled what that shirt was. I was like, that's hard, bro. Like, hey Jonah, man, I'm gonna need to figure out what that shirt is. You gotta DM me, tell me what that shirt is. I gotta step out in that too.
That's too good.
That goes stupid.
But it's just really fun to see. And I think that I think everybody's sleeping on this. Like, I think we're all, it's weird because I think obviously there was a ton of optimism heading into last season, and the country kind of knew what Washington could be.
Facts.
Everybody thinks like, oh, Washington's going to be terrible. They're just full on sleeping. They don't know. I mean, like, yes. Do we have some big ass questions to answer?
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm not like, if we roll out there with the old line that we have right now today, next fall, I'm going to be worried.
Agreed.
But the transfer portal is open. There are crystal balls for another bookend from SMU.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes from, okay, I think we all have some confidence in Drew as a party based on his performance at San Diego State. I feel a lot better about that position if you have Drew as a party and Marcus Bryant. Like, yep. Okay, there's your starting tackles. Then you've got three positions to figure out on the interior. I don't think the staff has said that they're still going to be pursuing, I think they said 4 to 5 offensive linemen in this portal window.
Rumors of some Arizona heads, obviously.
Some Arizona heads.
Internal, interior O-linemen.
Interior O-linemen. It's not out of the question. I think that they're, that the SMU, I don't necessarily think that we're the leaders, it sounds like. But I certainly think that there's, you know, SMU starting center is in the portal. That's a leverage. You know, this is a relationship game, and it's not just who the relationships.
I think he committed somewhere to Georgia. That SMU center?
Arkansas. I think Arkansas is the leader.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. But I thought I saw him might have committed somewhere else. But, yeah, watch out for them. A couple of Arizona guys, for sure.
I mean, one thing that people aren't really kind of talking about is, you know, you got to present these conversations in context. Outside of Oregon, Ohio State, like, what team after that doesn't have, like, a gaping hole somewhere? And not just a little hole, but a gaping hole. Like, every team after those two, those guys have gaping holes. And obviously having a bad offensive line or, slim personnel there is a, you know, that can ruin a whole season, as opposed to not having a good edge group or not having good linebackers, right? But everybody has, like, huge holes beyond the top two teams in the big. So, I mean, we're in a very good spot, and that's why I'm not, like, super panicky or anything like that, just because if we already have a connection with Arizona. I think we all kind of had some type of feeling that, you know, spring portal was going to be lit when it came to maybe like circling back, spinning the block on, you know, the Wildcats. So
Jakari Davis is still in the portal.
Mm-hmm. That's just such a stacked position that I'm like, you know, imagine those trickle down effects. You know, you take their whole offensive line, and now, you know what I'm saying, Noah and T-Mac are just like, wait, bro, we're not, are we really going to have my bag year for T-Mac on a 3-4 win team?
They're going to be like the Will Smith gift from Fresh Prince. Be the last ones there.
Hey, just.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and you want to talk about, let's talk about the team that we beat, or that, beat us in the national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think they have a huge ass question mark at quarterback? Here's the question I'm going to ask you, gentlemen, right now. Alec, would you rather, in your quarterback room, Alex Orji and Jack Tuttle and a big ass question mark with no quarterbacks of real note available in the spring portal, or your presumed starter is the
option B.
Second
option, yeah. B.
Or Will Rogers,
it could Damon be Williams, me and DJ, bro.
Right. Right. Or
Rico.
Like, Washington does not have a question at the quarterback position.
No.
Anywhere near to what Michigan has. Like, yes, we have an O-line question more than they do. But, like, you look at Michigan, they're not like, oh my god, they're going to be complete world beaters this again this fall. Like, no.
Wisconsin holes. Penn State holes. Iowa holes.
Penn State.
Shia LaBeouf holes all in the conference.
Well, and Penn State's best receiver is in the portal.
Yep.
Saw that Drew Aller spring game performance. He's like,
nope. He said, what's crazy is there's some accuracy problems. Let me go ahead and beat Dr. Strange up out of here.
That's like... And it's the curse of John Donovan. It's a John Donovan evaluating quarterback strike.
That whole new offensive coordinator stuff did not work.
Yeah.
But also, too, I see Texas is losing a lot of, like, their it's funny, a lot of the
depth pieces.
A lot of the edge guys that we played in 2022 that were kind of forced to play because everybody opted out, they're the ones leaving. So, like, they just didn't make the next cut. So, they, you know, they've developed. They just turned into role players instead of these stars. So, there's a lot of, like, second string or that third rotational edge guy available right now, too, that we kind of need as well.
Yeah. I mean, and, like, yeah, we could use an additional piece. But, like, the thing that everybody's sleeping about, in my opinion, is that, like, they're sleeping on how good this defense could be. Like, yes, we need one, and maybe, like, in an ideal sense, I'd love to get two more big bodies in the middle of this defense, and where you can, like, where Armon and Javon can be, you know, like, part of your, like, could be, like, your third and fourth tackle, as opposed to, like, if you put, hey, let's just...
Elenius getting reps, too.
Right. But if Elenius gets his first reps and his first playing time as your fifth tackle... as opposed to having to be your fourth or your third, like, where you're not trusting young guys because you brought in some guys ahead of them. Like, the big question is, and we were just talking about Jakario Davis, like, this back seven is stacked. like, yes, we've got who's going to play at one safety, and I think...
Bro, Peyton Waters is out there going crazy. Wow. He big hell. Time out. Why he so damn big?
Yeah, he is.
It was like 6'2", 175 listed. He walking around. Yeah, coach.
Yeah, he's grown ass man.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not looking for my for plaudits here, but I just want to. I want the record to show. I'm Peyton Waters truther from way back.
Bruh, he is huge. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of truther. If you guys remember last year, I was I'll say his name because I'm going to say some good things about him. I was kind of an Esteen hater. Like, I was like, oh, man, he's starting for us. Like, he wasn't playing well. But by the end of the year, I'm an Esteen truther now. He was so nice for us those last, like, three or four games. And I almost had a heart attack when somebody said he missed a practice.
Yeah.
And like, some people were like, oh, is he going to Portland? I'm like, oh, hell no. Look, but he was back.
And Cam, let the record show his Cam Fab, too. We had some doubts about Cam Fab. And
Hey, those were legitimate,
though. When it
comes
to DBs, bro, y'all don't play with me, bro. I'm telling you. Because in college, you can just fit a role. And if you're elite at the role, like Elijah Molden was a role player in a good defense. Cam Fab has the similar, like, if you put him in that role, he can play at an all-conference level. Like, same as me, same as Jabbar. Like, these guys have all been limited. And people are, like, you know, penalizing them for their worst reps versus NFL guys. Like, those guys at Kent State were NFL guys last year, and he never got rid of that moniker. And Cam Fab, that Michigan game, taking a bad angle. Now he's the best angle taker on the team. So, like, it's like, you know, you got to...
Resonates the Turner. I mean,
oh, my God.
The Cam Fab criticism was legit, though, for a year or two. But he definitely got better. And
players get better and develop.
Yeah.
Peyton Waters is going to be a problem. I can already see it in his face. In the way that he's being coached and the way Vinny's coaching him too, he's not, you know, I saw that one, that rep where he got yelled at and he kind of was like, put his head down and kind of had a snarl. I was like, oh yeah. He didn't get yelled at and it's like, man.
He got that dog in him.
Yeah. And then getting bullied by Jay Rich, you know, like, you miss high school yet? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I saw that, yeah.
You can tell they're building a relationship, which makes me assume that he's probably going to play. That kind of shows some trust and, hey, we're giving you an opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, it's spring. We're giving you an opportunity, you know.
And this staff is not afraid to play freshmen anywhere on the team.
Red shirt freshmen,
true freshmen, they are freshmen. Not afraid.
I hope these guys get some run. Like, I would say one of the things that they like about the old staff, especially on defense, like, they would rotate guys in a lot on defense and give guys some reps and see what they can do. And I really like that. And I mean, that hurt us sometimes, but it was benefited them probably for the long run. So I hope that our staff does that a little bit too.
I don't see how you, like, they're doing it and they're going to do it, but I don't see how you just let you waste a Ephesians Prysock at corner, bro. Like, with Leroy Bryant, you know, with EJ, with Thad,
yeah.
Dyson balling right now. Like, let the quick corners do their quick corner shit and have Prysock just roam in the box. You know what I mean? Just a robber, Kyle Hamilton kind of style, and being able to kind of just be that big athlete, lengthy athlete, man.
Is it just adamant playing corner? Is that what it is?
I just think it's if you're 6'4" and you're lengthy like him, you can kind of trend set.
Yeah.
I think if you end up doing something, you're going to go first round if you end up being even halfway good with that size. So I think you're just banking on the money. That's a bigger money position for sure.
But I also think that with, like, what we know about C. Belichick's defense is he it's not a
just multiple.
This is the only it's a multiple, and so, like, I think you're going to see some of that. I think you're going to see him at, you know, at a true corner. Like, I think
Leroy, like, big as hell.
Yeah, he is. Oh, I mean, forgot to mention this. Like, we're talking about getting some.
And we talked about. Go ahead, DJ. Sorry.
We're talking about getting some couple of defensive linemen inside. A couple guys just hit the portal the last today that apparently we're in on, and that could be some good portal additions there that we.
Jermaine Lole, the dude from TCU.
TCU, yeah.
TCU is going to be kind of hard because he has some accolades.
Yeah.
You know, freshman, All American, All Conference.
That's for USD, I think.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Unless we gave all of our money to Jonah Coleman, I feel like we have some money available because we paid Penix a lot. We paid Rome, I'm sure, those guys. But, you know, Jonah got a lot. You already can tell.
if Jed is still talking about
$50,000 right here.
I'll put it this way. If Jed's still if the rumors are to be believed, are at all credible, that Jed is still talking about getting T-Mac up here.
Man,
Jonah didn't get the whole bank.
Crazy. Yeah.
If any of that happens, bro,
it's A's Arizona guys started that rumor, so it looked bad that he's gonna stay. That's my thoughts on it. It looks bad on Jet Fish. Like, totally. I was trying to get him, but
man, no, they're gonna go somewhere. They may not go to UW, but if they lose the offensive line and they lose Takayo and their best player.
When's the portal close for the spring?
Oh, that's a great question. I literally was looking
May
at
15th,
it.
May 15th, I think.
Is it 15th?
No, I think it's the. I think the portal closes at the end of the month, but they have, I think, until the 15th to announce.
Oh.
Okay. They only have a couple weeks to decide, though.
But
this is the one that really needs to be regulated. Like, this is the one that needs to be, because this is like a haves and have-nots. Like, the SEC rule where you can't transfer in the SEC, I think that should be an umbrella rule, like, where everybody can't do that. Because you're making that decision, you're moving back home, or you got to go somewhere else, and that makes it a tougher decision to make. Like, oh, I'm already home, and now I got to go, like, to a whole different conference? Oh, no, I'll just stay in Florida. You know what I mean? I think they should.
That's logic, and NCAA doesn't have that, you know? So
they can't.
They can't even make any rules anyways, I guess.
Man,
the one transfer rule where you can transfer without sitting was so good, and now they can just do it every single year free agency. Like,
Because the students were going to start suing them, bro. Like, and they can't do anything. They're not trying to fight all these lawsuits. Like, if Durfee had a, and I'm going to be honest, bro, if Durfee had a real team behind him, bro, he would have been eligible. They just didn't have enough money to put behind his efforts. Like, it took North Carolina a while, but they put money behind the efforts where the governor was like, you better, we're going to sue. So then that's why Taz was able to play. Like, we just didn't fight like that for Zach, you know?
Yep. But it is definitely a whole new world. And, I do real quick. I need to look at some of the, I know there's tape on CJ Wallace, the commitment we got, like number two kicker in the country. Speaking of an athlete from a specialist from a school, we don't get players from all that off. A kicker at Modern, he's at Bosco, I guess. But still important. Yeah, our kicker. I haven't had a chance to look at all of his film yet. I do want to talk briefly about Raiden Vines-Bright, the commitment we got from, that you were talking about, Hood, from IMG Academy. 6 foot, 100, listed on 247 at 6 foot, 190 pounds. He is a 4-star by the composite, a 3-star on 247 because they're idiots. this guy is going to, like, I will say, first and foremost, one of the things that I love about Raiden Vines-Bright's film is how many highlights he included of him blocking. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a team. This is a guy that, like, is not just about him, is about the team. I'll use the cliche. He's got that dog in him, and seems to like hitting people. Even as a receiver, this guy is going to be an absolute force for us. Particularly, I think he's going to end up probably a little bit more in the slot and be an absolute monster.
I just remember pre-show just talking to you about who immediately came to my head when I saw him. And it was mainly because of, like, his upper body build and his run style, but the skill set didn't match. But within brainstorming, you know, the system that player had come from that I'd comped him to, it kind of rallied me back to somebody that he does actually kind of, you know, skill set and body type kind of reminds me of. And it's Terrence Williams, the Baylor receiver. The one who ended up playing for the Cowboys. Just kind of that really good size, really solid route runner, that, like, low to mid 4.4, that run after catch, you don't really catch from behind. Just a really crisp receiver. Linear, more linear than kind of the left to right wiggly kind of guy. Gets really north and south in a physical manner. I just feel like coming in at 6 foot, almost 6 foot one, 190 pounds, he'll probably be 205 when he's playing. You know, he is in the mold of a very physical wide out on the outside, that could even be versatile enough to come in on the inside. He's a slot receiver that can be versatile enough and has the size to go on the outside. I really I'm a fan of his versatility, especially in a Jed Fish offense.
I think you could. I mean, I think that there's going to be any number of different ways that they can get him the ball, and he's going to be very, very dangerous with it.
I agree.
Good.
No, you're good.
I was just saying, like, to echo, like, and it's something that they got pointed out in our GCs. It's why probably a good, you know, from what we've seen of the spring. Maybe not the immediate future, but I would say that if I was a betting man, that the likely future starter at quarterback for the Washington Huskies is a young man named Damon Williams. There is definitely a connection that he has with Raiden before he transferred out to IMG. Was from a high school down in Arizona, and we're going to be just fine.
Man, that kid, dude.
Like I said, I'm coining the term now. Highlights on demand.
Oh, come on! You better TM. TM. What did Gold Member say? TM. You need to TM that on highlights on demand.
But that kid's going to be a player for us, and
I agree.
I think we're going to see him a little bit this fall. But I think it's just going to be, I hope that it's just a little bit like what I think is, I hope it's an appetizer and then he gets the reins and is our starter in 25.
I definitely think he gets his four games, you know what I mean? And you know, kind of some garbage time if that allows. I think our schedule doesn't really reap too much garbage time, but, you know, if it ends up happening, then definitely excited to get him in there, even if it's for packages or things like that. You know, he's not really like a power running guy. Like, you can, like, they threw Orgy in for, like, you know, packages and power run. I don't know what type of packages you would put in for him. Maybe like throwback stuff. Yeah. But
what Michigan did definitely not do with Orgy is throw him in there to throw the football.
To throw the ball.
Like,
The portal closes April 30th, it seems.
Okay. Okay, so it is, yeah, it is at the end.
So it's the end of the month.
So it is quick. But
yeah,
so yeah, that's not a long time at all.
It shouldn't.
And it's probably closed until, what, like, August or spring, fall camp around then opens.
Which is crazy, bro. There's too many opportunities for these. Man, and you can literally leave and like go to a different place. Like, you know, I was having a conversation in one of like the national group chats where somebody was like, well, you guys don't talk about the coaches. And it's like, yeah, we do talk about the coaches. Like, it's equally as interesting, I'll use that word, for UW during this period to snag like what the player personnel person from Arizona. Like, it's that's like, damn, like, you know what I mean? And so, like, that's no different than having your star quarterback portal out, you know? So, like, these schools, haves and have-nots, are dealing with it on all fronts, you know, from your athletic department and having ADs and their administrators stolen to the coaches, to the assistant coaches, to the players. Like, the turnover is just, this is the Wild West right now. Like, you know.
It's not the pace at which change is going to happen and happens.
Mm-hmm.
Is not like, and that's, you know, Wilner, like, again, to go back to what Wilner was saying, it's like, I think most Husky fans understand that Jed Fish is not going to be here 7 years from now.
And that he's like an outlier coach in that regard. Like, that's not a common thing, but we're willing to deal with a splash coach really quick to help the next guy that might want to be here for a while. Then we are fine with it too. But
I think that, like, but that's the thing. It's like, I think, you know, with the professionalization of college football, it's going to be more about win or get out. And to some extent, like, Washington is going to be, when Washington wins, somebody's going to move up.
Yeah. And you talk whether about
to a blue blood or to the NFL or to the league.
Boom.
There's no program that's like, oh, this guy's going to be here for 10 years. Like, that's I don't think that's going to exist in college football.
Those guys are retiring. They don't even want to be a part of this process. Like, right. Kyle Whittingham's next. Like, once Cam Rising's gone, I'm pretty sure he's going to be like, y'all take care. This was great. This was my last run. Like, it's just not built for
those type of guys. You think Kalen DeBoer's going to stay at Alabama if he's successful down there? No.
Look at so you hear all the coaches saying how, you know, instead of being a head coach, I'm about to go and be an assistant in the NFL. You know what I mean? Or guys like Chip Kelly saying, I don't want to be a head coach. I haven't coached football in a decade. Like, let me go coach a position group. I haven't coached a position group and X's and O's in a decade. Like, I want to go back to that versus all this hectic stuff. So nobody's going to want to stay in the college game at a singular school for more than 2, 3, 4 years in the first place. So everybody at this point is going
to
be...
Or those that do, it's going to become exceptionally rare. Or to some extent, the other thing that could happen is that you're going to get, like, coaches that are long tenured at a particular institution are winning just enough not to get fired, but don't have anywhere to move up
to. And also, too, like, at a Kansas or at an Iowa State or Kansas State, because you're not going to be able to win at Florida State and nobody's going to
out-coach.
Bro. Oh, man. That's funny. That's crazy. I'm a fan of Justin Wilcox.
I am, too, but
Palace.
And so is John Wilner.
Get out of there, bro. Like, he's like, I got y'all. Y'all got me. I got y'all. Y'all got me.
They need to get John Wilner off KJR, man. He's such a UW hater, and he goes on there and
I didn't listen, hate. Somebody said FKJR today or something. Like people are beefing with him.
Because they bring John Wilner on there every week, and he just talks shit.
It is. So what it,
maybe doesn't say that bad stuff on KJR, but he says bad stuff at UW so much outside of KJR. I know that for sure. I don't know if it does it on the show or not. I don't listen
to haters. Haters are going to always hate on the haves and the have-nots moving forward, bro. And the fact that UW is a have, like, yeah, it can make you feel slimy a little bit on the inside, but it's also like, at least I can confidently root in my team, you know? Unfortunately, we're going
to
play.
To some extent, I feel bad for Beavs and Cougs, and to some extent, I don't, because, like, you're not, like, and I'm like, your athletic department's never been profitable, ever.
Nope.
Like, you got to hold on for way, 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 way longer than
It does suck that it was Wazoo and Oregon State and not, like, Vanderbilt and someone else or, you know, Wake
Forest.
Their
time's going to come, too. Honestly, there's a... Like, as we continue to go forward, like...
That's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
If you're not bringing in your cut or
Indiana,
your football.
Indiana football? No.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... The landscape is not... This is concrete for what's going to be the case for the next 15, 20 years. Like, I think that what will ultimately happen is that there's going to be further consolidation and like the bottom end of even the Power Two leagues between the SEC and the Big Ten will fall out and be kind of the premier programs that, like, I think there will be probably an additional classification in between, you know, for the last, you know, however long we've had FBS and FCS with nothing in between. And I think you're going to see the majority of the G5 and the bottom half of the P5 or what was the P5. Are going to be and some FCS programs moving up. There's going to be a new classification,
and also too, I would say that, like, you know, these institutions have to take advantage of and invest in, you know, right, like take advantage of the wave right now of men and women wanting to be involved in specific women's sports right now. Like, softball is the hottest that it has ever been. Just as a national sport, women's softball, women's basketball is the hottest that it's ever been. You know, we had these things that we consider non-revenue generating sports. Now, men's revenue is like, I think the most programs like under like $8 million or $5 million. Like, that's how much they generate. But if you really piggyback off of this momentum, you can have other streams of revenue or things helping you with a deficit. They're not as big of in the red. They're not as big of reliance on football. And I think all it does is take marketing. It's not going to take too much of an investment. Get real cool, clever people, grassroots people, people that are, you know, quality professionals in graphic design and things like that. And just start engaging a lot of these fans. People are currently interested right now. Take advantage of the momentum, bro. Like, please take advantage of the momentum. These athletic departments have to start thinking with a business mindset instead of like all the old school way. And I get that it's tough because a lot of those guys are old and not necessarily old, but like, you know, they're old school in regards to what they grew up in and the athletics they grew up in. But you're going to have to adjust to this new wave and take advantage of these pockets and moments to be able to generate revenue without it coming from your fan base, bro.
and making the right hires in all of those programs is all the more important, mm-hmm. because you know who Caitlin Clark was 8 years ago? Kelsey Plum.
Bro,
and if Jen Cohen had made the right hire instead of Jody Lynn when Mike Nabors left,
prosperous.
Washington women's basketball would be in a whole different, we probably, I don't know necessarily that we would be in the elite conversation, but we would not have fallen off the absolute cliff that we did.
You just got to take advantage of this momentum, man. Like,
and it's just, I've
never got so many text messages about, do you want to buy this Seattle Storm package? Do you want to buy this Washington women's basketball package? Like, people are hitting me up like, hey, man, I'll see you at a WNBA or at a women's basketball. Take advantage of this momentum, man. This athletic department got you. Our softball team, dog.
It takes effort. All it does is it takes efforting.
Hey, bruh.
And efforting that isn't copy-pasting like Mr. Yep. Brightside.
Oh, my God.
Was. Let's, like, but just effort. Like, put the, like, there's, and it's being done really incredibly well by any number of different franchises, even in the Seattle area. Like, the Kraken social media team is fantastic. Just effort. Continue to put resources into something, and you're going to get your investment back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and there may come a time where Washington doesn't have a seat at the final table.
Mm-hmm.
But the longer you're there, the better it is. And the longer you're there and the more success you have to the point of how important winning is. Who was Clemson 15 years ago?
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I haven't looked at it, but it's like how many teams in the last decade have 5-10 win seasons? Oregon's got
that's probably,
it.
That's like, probably a list of 12 max, yeah. Man. And whenever you look at it from that perspective, like whenever I'm in these national group chats, I bring that perspective. Like I'm like, hey, man, you guys talk about us in a certain light because we don't market ourselves. Not because we're not good. You just, we're at a periphery being good because we're not like, hey, we're good over here. Hey, we're winning as many games as you, but we're good too. Look at us. You know, we're not doing it that way. We're not, you know, having this huge recruiting momentum in the offseason to bring ratings and to bring all these things so people don't talk about us. But you see now in our offseason, people are talking about us and to kind of generate negative engagement, but at least we're some form of a focal point.
Right.
You know,
what they talk down upon us all the time.
Huh?
They always talk down on us in those group chats. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. And then even national CFB media, like when they try to get our engagement, they compare us to Oregon. Is it Bo Nix or Michael Penix? It's never like, who? And then it's, who's the best wide receiver group? Is it Ohio State? Washington? They never let us stand on our own, you know, so they never market us, you know, where it's like, oh, it's just Washington doing this. You know what I mean? So, yeah, but in those group chats, man, a lot of them are like, you know, they respect a lot of the marketing. You know, you see the wave of Colorado right now. You know, that's how do you get a fan base overnight that quick?
Higher prime
you
know, time.
You market. You have like personalities in the room, and now you're starting to see that from Washington. You're starting to get. We would have thought that the NFL names are going to kind of bring that, but it oddly, you know, for the fan base, it's beneficial. But the momentum, to be honest, hasn't really resonated amongst young people, like having those NFL guys there. So I think that's why they're really marketing that Be a Pro. We're having all these guys there. So they're doing their job. Hey, look at us. This is how we're doing it. We're doing it with pros here. You know.
And I think a big point to that is coming in 5 days.
I agree.
You don't think that every high school football player in a country that cares about eventually getting to the NFL is going to be paying attention to what schools players that are getting drafted are coming out of.
Mm-hmm. After this draft, bro, people are going to be knocking at the door. Yo, you know, what about this? And what about, because a lot of scouts obviously view guys like Jalen Polk and Jalen McMillan a lot more than these casual dudes that make mock drafts and stuff on Twitter. So we're going to see a lot of people go day one, day two, and early day three, the majority of these players.
Yep. Well, and I think the other thing, like, if you know, if I can briefly bounce back to, you know, look forward to next season to the point of, like, all the holes and how this – you fix some of the holes that we have on our roster and you put up a close to or another 10-plus win season and continue to recruit.
Mm-hmm.
The longer you stay in the national limelight or in the picture, even if it's slightly more, I mean, like, I don't, ideal case scenario, like, even in the best case scenario, I don't think we're going to be back in the national championship game next fall. But if we're in the broader periphery of that conversation and don't fall off a cliff, And then that next year, it's just like, oh, they took a brief step back, and here they come again.
Yep.
Then you're starting to look at.
My expectation is LSU from last year. So the team that, dang, I lost to the two best teams in the conference, and in the 12-team playoff, I finished 12, 13, 14, 15. Like, I was right there on the cusp. Like, that's my expectation. You know what I'm saying? If we are able to kind of get it, if we are able to get, like, a really good offensive line, then I might have it kind of go a little bit above that. But my expectation going into this year, as things stand kind of now, is, like, being that LSU of last year, you know what I'm saying, that 9-3 by the end of the year, you know, you're pushing for that cusp spot. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and there's nobody on the schedule. Like, the best team on paper that we play next fall is our last game of the year.
Mm-hmm. Is a team we beat three times in a row. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a game.
Well, and
that's
the other
game of the year. That's so filthy.
The other thing that's going to be really interesting about that, particularly given the Arizona contingent on our roster, if you want just another little kernel of motivation, who didn't get a chance to play for the conference and who did, and who might be particularly have a little more juice and be like, hey, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't get to experience that last year, but these guys that are now my boys that I'm playing with, that I've blood, sweat, tears, all of it at practice and in games,
I get to experience.
Like,
that timing and that schedule matches up well. We get the LA schools at home. We get Michigan at home. So, and we're going to have speed. We're going to be physical. It's just going to come down to depth. Literally, right. Like, literally trench depths. That's what it's going to come down to. Everything right. else is solid. Trench depths and Will Rogers making good decisions.
Yep. And yeah, but what's a quarterback's best friend? Is it but a good running game?
Come on. We got how many of those? Three running back. Adam Muhammad.
Yeah, that's one guy that's going out, apparently.
We may not be done yet. We may be not be done yet at receiver.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, Lord. See, and this is why I'm saying people were so sad about Kalen DeBoer leaving. And I was like, bro, he lacked in so many ways. I appreciate him, dog, for being for first of all, Ryan Grubb and Chuck Morrell are an integral part of that process for him, and were able to relay his message, you know, so he relied on a lot of those guys and stuff like that. So he was a great game day guy. He was a great prep and detail oriented guy, but Jed is the exact same way. Plus having the network of recruiters, it's a complete level up on and off the field. You won 10 games with that Arizona roster? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
1-11, 5-7 to 10-3, I think.
10-3. And that Oklahoma team, I don't care what nobody say. They recruit better than Arizona all day, every day, oh my twice God. On Sunday.
It's not even, that's not and even
they,
close.
And they couldn't even, they couldn't do anything. But, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think that about wraps it up. We could go on at length talking dogs, as yes, all sir. Of our listeners are well aware. But thanks for listening. We'll be back soon. If not before, we'll certainly talk about what we see at the spring game. I'm certainly planning to be there if I can. But again, thanks for listening. Go dogs.
Go dogs. Go dogs. Yes, sir.
You can support this podcast at podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/soundthesirenpod.uw/support. Thanks. Go dogs.